There's a difference between the most fun Guardians game of the year and the best Guardians game of the year.
And all of a sudden, Jimmy Haslam looks like one of the best owners in the NFL, thanks to this guy.
It's coming up on the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Okay, so I didn't realize, and this is why it's taken a minute, so hopefully some of the fight is still there. It wasn't a big fight. Owen said yesterday was the best Guardians game of the year.
Yeah, I rephrased that because you're right. You said, no, that Yankees 4-0 win was the best. And you're right. It was definitely the funnest. And being the representative from the show that goes to the most Guardians games, I went to 4 between Saturday and yesterday, which is...
That's a lot. That's good. Lot. They like repeat business over there. Yeah.
Well, so. I give them my flat rate every month.
Yeah. I think that's a I know we've been kind of putting it off, and we had this it's not a really well-known thing, and I think I do want to bring it up on the show, maybe even tomorrow if you want to. There has been like this flux of season tickets, and even with the Browns, and I had asked you guys a question. Don't answer it yet. We want to do that on the show. But like, are season tickets a big deal? And somebody brought up, somebody asked me if I knew anybody who had tickets to sell for this other situation. And I go, because Owen's the biggest one I know, like as far as going to games. And like, you, but like, I'm like, I'm sorry, buddy. Like, all my friends, and Owen is far from the only one. I said, all my friends are getting the $50 a month. They go there, they drink.
I feel like there's more $50 people than there are season tickets.
I'm telling you, man. I think they'd pay $75 a month. I don't want to give them any ideas, but it's like, you go, if you needed to find a seat in the third inning. That. Yeah, I don't want to tell them that. If you needed to find a seat in the third inning, could you?
Yeah.
Yeah, there
I mean,
you go.
Right in front of, we actually stood basically the same spot all weekend. They've done some things, and yesterday, here's why it was fun, right? So yesterday, weather was perfect. Perfect weather, right?
That was awesome.
It was enough perfect that the sun was actually hot. You got a nice little bead of sweat.
My son got sunburned yesterday. You're right.
We did have to take the sunscreen. This is the first time all year I've put sunscreen on there. They had schools are all officially out now, but it wasn't as many kids. Had to have been a ton of teachers there. I saw quite a few work groups, like people wearing the shirt of their work, whoever their employer is, doing their little retreats. Lots of people in there. I would say they all seem to be older than me, and I'm in my early 40s. I would say 50s to mid-60s, just tons of people there in that age group. They've also added if you go in the concourse now, they painted a blue line. You can stand behind the blue line now. That's how much extra. I think that goes to show how much standing room they've sold. They've added standing room. Because before in the concourse area, they would tell you, keep it moving. Well, now they're telling you, you can stand behind this line. Don't block the area where people are trying to go down to their seats. But as long as you're there, not going over that line, that seems to be, and everybody, I don't see too many people floating up there and trying to be a nuisance for the people that paid for seats, right? And are trying to get to them.
Oh, and obviously this is indicative of where a lot of these baseball stadiums and their situations are heading.
Yeah.
What do you think is better? Because obviously, you know, in the 90s, everybody sat in their seat.
Right.
They sat in their seat. They were parked there. You couldn't miss a moment. I remember ushers making sure while people were going up the steps, making sure there was a pause in the action, kind of like what you see in hockey.
Right.
And now it's such a party, especially the weekends.
Right.
Yesterday seemed like a first day of summer. That's what it felt like yesterday.
Yeah.
You had a perfect sunset.
It was almost a second opening day yesterday.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So What do you think is more baseball? Do you think this is what baseball is becoming?
This is not the baseball that I was raised on. No.
How could it be?
This is definitely, I've said it, I've used this analogy. This is my country club. This is where I am.
Oh, that's a great
point. I'm paying my money to go do what I want there within their confines. I'm still, you know, the bar still costs me money to walk over to it. But
that's right.
A lot of money.
You pay for your dinner at a country. You still pay for your dinner at a country club.
By doing this, so just for instance, we went Monday because Toby really wanted to see Ellie De La Cruz. Hadn't seen him, wanted to see him. So remember, it used to be 6:10 first pitch before June, 7:10 first pitch after June, right? They went 6:40 now, which is perfect, right? It still gives you time to get home from work and do something. We had dinner at the house.
That's awesome.
Still cleaned everything up by 6 o'clock. It was 5:45. We're in the car and down here. And it seems like more, like you said, you know, even in the 90s, people were getting to the ballpark early and getting to their seats early. The gate is full when the anthem is going.
Oh, yeah.
And the anthem is 8 minutes before first pitch.
Wow.
And there are people that those standing room areas, if you were in there before the anthem, at least this week, there was hardly anybody in the standing room. And by the time first pitch was thrown, it was packed.
I think for a situation like you, I would be much more calm because it's like, well, we stand, we drink, and that's it. Like if I had seats, section 121, it's like we gotta get to our seats. Gotta get like hurry. Like everything is hurry. I'm not very good in those situations. I have to remind myself like when was it. Oh gosh, this was last Friday. I had to go to that event and it was at the same time as a Guardians game. And I got off the highway and I went, hey, this ain't going to go fast.
Yep.
Just be patient. Don't cut anybody off.
And
then you get cut off and you're like, I thought we were all in an agreement
here. Like you had to go down ninth. There was no avoiding it.
No. I was able to, but it was still, I forget, like Playhouse Square still has a lot of people coming in.
Yes.
Like I don't give...
This area weird. Friday night downtown
does man. Get... And I don't give it enough credit because I'm here so often and I'm in this spot so often, I don't always take an account my surroundings. And because I'm here in the middle of the day, I came out on Monday. I had to stay up here Monday. I had to record. And I went over to East 4th to get lunchy. And on my way there, I was like, gosh, it's like the weekend here. There is nobody here. Yeah. And there will be certain days where during the week it's just percolating and then there's busy. And then that was the last Monday because it was on Friday. It was like stop, go. And that's why I wanted to park in that $35 lot because I'm going, man, I'm going to go around the bend here. I'm going to go around the Huntington building. I know it's not called that, but 200 Prospect. I'm going to go around that building, and it's going to be C and a half an hour, and I'm kind of starting to run out of time here now. And thankfully, I was able to find the other spot, but I told you guys how that went. And I just don't give it enough credit because it's not just my event, whatever. It's the Guardians. Well, the Guardians is the big ones I'm thinking of because we think of sports. Oh, yeah, there's eight plays playing or whatever it is, and it is.
Well,
and I'll tell you what, that's another thing. Is a lot of those folks, let's just call it what it is, they do not know how to drive downtown. I find that the Playhouse Square crowd does not know how to drive downtown. When you have concerts, they don't know how to drive downtown. Basketball, baseball, football, they seem to know how to drive downtown, or at least get in and get out. Maybe not as much football because it happens left. The baseball, hockey always draws a good crowd. You can get them in, get them out. But man, when you do that Playhouse Square over here, like East 14th, It is Agnes and George, and they're waiting for the light to turn purple, and I'm clutching the steering wheel, and I look down, and I see it says Summit County, and I'm going, because all three of us whip around here because we know what we're doing.
Right.
Not trying to break speed laws or traffic laws or anything, but we know.
Know where you can cut through on things and all that too.
Yeah, I know the shortcuts. I mean, I know the back tracks.
We're down here so much between working down here every day and then my other job's down here as well, and
yeah,
this is where we do our recreation. I know this. I know when the lights are going to turn.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yep. I had the closest I ever came to cutting it one time because I've gone from 8 to here to host the Brown Show.
Yeah.
George Michael sang Sledgehammer, right?
No.
Who sang Peter Gabriel?
Peter Gabriel. Thank you, Peter Gabriel. Peter Gabriel was playing at the arena at Rocket Arena. It was madness. It was madness, and I parked it up on the curb over here. It was like 6:56, and Meredith is like, "Where are you?" And I just left it up on the sidewalk. I put my blinkers on, and I left it up on the sidewalk, and thank God everybody was just too busy to bother.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I got to go. And it wasn't just like there was nowhere to park. The garages were full. There was nobody moving on the street. Like, these people were all going to be late. And it was all... Summit County, Portage County, Lorain, Sandusky, like people you know, they only come downtown once or twice a year, if that.
Yeah.
And they were there to see Peter Gabriel. So it reminded me of that. But either way, going back to this. So you say, I think there's a differentiation here, and I think you'll agree. Yesterday was the most fun, as you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11-2 and
hope. Well, I mean, the weather's one thing, but when they're providing you with a reason to cheer.
Yeah.
Which they have not done, especially at home. And even when you're getting cheer opportunities at home, it's been cold. It's been dreary. It's your little 55 and drizzle. You can shove that where, you know, because after yesterday, I would much rather take yesterday and roll the dice on a World Series appearance.
Well, I can't believe so many
you
more
can
people
even,
agreed with that.
I'd almost go... I'll take yesterday and guarantee me that we're losing in the ALCS again if I get yesterday for the rest of the year.
It was a beautiful day. We had Axel's game yesterday, but I watched the whole. I love getaway days. It's just perfect for guys who are in our schedule. It was easy to watch, and then they won, which I was on the phone with Lima. I missed the sixth inning because I was on the phone with Tone, which is fine, because I figured it was already over anyway. It's like getaway day. They're up 5-1. Like, that's it. And I called Tone, and then I get back, and it's 11-2. I'm like, whoa, what did I miss? So I had to go back and watch that. But I enjoy the getaway days. It makes me kind of wish, like, you know what? Maybe it was a bad idea to put up lights at Major League ballparks and things like that. But I still thought that Yankees 4-0 win was the best game that they played. But having fun like that, I don't think that could be beat. Shamar Stewart, Tone, he is leaving Bengals camp. He left the mandatory minicamp. It's mandatory. He left. He said no more. They can't come together on a deal. You had an observation about this?
Well, first, coming from Mike Florio, he laid out all the different options, and this could be one of those banner situations that cause havoc, whether it's the CBA or with the union. Obviously, you have an owner involved that the reputation is that he doesn't have money, and the NFL doesn't want that. They don't want owners having that reputation. Well, the first thing is he can refuse to sign and demand a trade. The window for trading an unsigned draft pick expires 30 days before the first game of the regular season. Second, Stewart can wait until the Tuesday after week 10 and still play in 2025. After that, he can't play at all in 2025. Third, he can refuse to sign at all until the 2026 draft begins. At that point, he'd re-enter the draft. Wow. Re-entering the draft. So there's like no compensation for the Bengals. They just lose him. And then fourth, and this is something they talked about, Stewart could try to return to college for the upcoming season. And remember, there's NIL money now.
Wow.
But they said there could be a court case that would have to open up to explore this. But
I'm not ripping on Florio here. This is a recycled thing that he wrote. Now, we didn't get a chance to discuss it because it was still like, because you and I talked about it. You and I talked about Shador Sanders the morning of the draft. And then on Friday, it's like, wow, this guy isn't taken. On Friday night, Mike Florio, it was either Friday, it might have been Thursday night. Yeah, we were just so focused on what the Browns were going to do, you know, pick 33 and all that stuff. Florio had written that Shador could go back to the draft. That was his contention, was he can go. Now is a better time than ever. And I agree with Florio. What's the NCAA going to do? Now that we've had the House
agreement. What's the NCAA going to do with you what?
The NCAA gets beaten in every single
lawsuit.
Wait,
are you talking about...
It's in.
But what are you talking
about? He's saying that Shador Sanders has eligibility. He should go back.
Oh, you said the draft. You meant play another season.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I said the draft. I apologize. He should go back to college football. That's what Mike Florio said. Now, Florio is saying that he should pull himself out, or he can pull himself out and do this. This is more. This is something he's been kind of thinking about over the last few months. Now, he's a lawyer. He would probably say it's nothing like that, and that's fine. But this is something that's been concepted before. You only get credit for things you get wrong, because that's what people remember. I remember saying this on draft night. I remember telling you on Friday morning. I didn't know it was going to be a money thing, but I go, I don't know if this guy is going to be a good fit for them. He is a guy who wins the, and he could still end up being a great pick for him once they get this all figured out, because they'll probably get something figured out here. He's a guy who wins the drill, but if you watch him, he's always to the left or right or behind or forward. He never really hones in and makes the stop.
Is he kind of considered a project?
He is absolutely considered a project. And they took another guy on defense that was considered a project as well. And I think that this just permeates. It is one thing to be considered cheap when it comes to baseball, but I don't have to deal with that, thank goodness, because of the Guardians. And you could be as cynical and mad about hearing that as you want. The Guardians are a successful franchise. They just haven't won it all, but they've been competitive and they've been successful. And they've played well enough to make me care, which is actually part of the problem for a lot of folks. You don't want to care about a team that doesn't have a monetary chance the way the other ones do. I cannot imagine being a fan of an NFL football team, having a capped sport that you start the league year with a check for $300+ million, and we're wringing our hands over first-round picks, and wringing our hands over Trey Hendrickson, and wringing our hands over wide receivers while you got lucky enough to take a guy, and he's injury-prone, but he's very good and talented as Joe Burrow. I cannot imagine that. Like, I cannot. We talk about the cap and what it is and what it isn't all the time, and how the Browns always find a way to get something done with their cap and get under the cap and find guys to pay and find guys to play, and somehow the Bengals just won't do it.
It's incredible.
It's unbelievable. And I just keep hearing about how, like, the daughter is taking more and more of that day-to-day role, and I'm thinking, you could say whatever you want. That's still being passed through Mike Brown. Mike Brown, his dad was frugal, extremely frugal. His dad was very anti-players union, very anti-agent. His father was extremely frugal. I mean, good God, ask the late, great Jim Brown about that.
Why is the NFL okay with any of this? Why would
they're not? But it's his team. They can't step in and make him pay people.
They can.
That's a dangerous thing.
The NFL certainly, with as much power as they possess, the other owners banding together to drive up a sale price,
mm-hmm.
they could get him to sell. Couldn't they?
That would be.
They could find something. There's no way that all these owners haven't done something that the NFL wouldn't have some dirt on them, that if they wanted league memos, emails, correspondence, phone calls, text messages, if they wanted to, think about why. People would say, well, why do they care who owns the teams? Well, they care because they want to do the best they can to affect the bottom line and the sale prices.
They could.
To drive up the other prices. And so the NFL would stand to benefit to have him sell, potentially threaten relocation too.
That could make
the league all sorts of more money, because it could open up an expansion team. There's just so many different variables
that could
contribute to the pot.
But I don't think they want to. I don't think they want to. Mike Brown has been an owner in the NFL a long time. I don't know if that puts him in that special, because there's the owners and then there's the ones that are on the inner circle. The Maras, the Tishes, the Rooneys. Jerry Jones is absolutely in the inner circle. It's almost like a Bilderberg group of owners, which is already a very, very small list. He's not in there, even though he has tenure. But I it goes back to Mark Cuban, where Mark Cuban's like, and this is during the Donald Sterling stuff, he's like, I don't think owners want people looking through their closets because they've all done things to acquire enough money to buy these teams that nobody wants to really discuss. And I'm sure that there's something, just like in everybody's past, but I would be willing to say, since he's born into it, and it is an old, I mean, the franchise is old, and his father was obviously one of the proprietors of a franchise in many ways. I don't know if they really want to do that with him. Not that he can threaten them or anything like that, but I don't know if they really deem it possible, because he is almost 90 years old. Now, he could end up like Mrs. McCaskey, who was 100, or how old is Sheila Ford Lamp, I forget her last name, yeah. But part of the Ford family. I think she's in her upper 90s.
She
was like 95.
Yeah. So the owners, billionaires tend to live a long time. He might make it that long, but there has to be a time where you also don't have controlling interest. And what this says, because there's a lot of things that they seem to want to do, the daughter wants to do, that they're just held back on. So it's like, hey, man, I know he might not have the day-to-day operations. He's still signing off on all
this
stuff.
Guys, we were way off. She's 73.
Okay. Don't let that get back to the family.
What? Wait a damn minute.
Three of us guessed the 90s.
Hold on.
All of us have guessed 20 years off.
I just wrote Lions in there. It could be any. Oh, you see, this is how it knows me. It just went Detroit Lions. Probably because I'm sitting next to Owen and it's my phone. I put Sarah in it, automatically went to Jay. Now, what's going on? Why didn't Wikipedia end up at the top again? It's doing this all the time.
Well, I know.
That's how it happens.
What happened? Did Wikipedia not get enough things for Google?
You said it was older than it was.
Oh my God. Sheila Ford Hamp.
The Commanders got sold for...
She's only 73?
The Commanders got sold for $6 billion. So, I don't think the Bengals would get $6 billion, but...
The Broncos went for $4.5 billion, right? Or $5 billion. So it was that high, and that was Walmart family basically bought them.
Her mom is still alive. Okay. Martha Ford is 99. She succeeded her mother. Okay.
Okay, that's who we're talking
about.
Yeah,
she succeeded her mother. See, this is how much attention we pay to the Lions, sadly, at least on and off the field. We went through the owners before. She succeeded her mother on June 23rd, 2020, which that's not even a year in our lives. She's still alive. She's 99 years old. Born in Cleveland, by the way. Because she was Martha Firestone. Obviously, you know the history with that last name. They could try to force them out. That's true. I would think they would rather wait until their ducks are all in a row and they're ready to squeeze the trigger on another team.
I wonder what these other owners, like, who bought in with the Commanders? Was it Josh Harris? Yeah. Was it?
Well,
was it Josh?
He's the majority owner.
Okay, so he buys in at $6 billion or his group or whatever. And then they see that the Bengals, who have been grandfathered in over time, what do you think they bought in for? So they're sitting there going, wait, we have to share our revenue with this owner who's not spending money?
Mm-hmm.
What a joke. So that's where I could see other owners being up in arms.
Yeah,
that's where I equate it to. Like, if you've seen my street. There's a house on my street that I'm not very happy is there, and the owners have not taken care of it.
Wouldn't be happy either, to be honest with you. No offense.
It's their own deal. But they've got a boat out there that they're on every weekend, and I'm to myself, if the owners of the houses on the street could all band together and go, hey, dude, you got to sell your property.
Yes.
Yeah. We would definitely do it.
I mean, you can make things very nasty.
The NFL owners are kind of like an HOA.
Yes.
Like, hey, you're gonna keep your grass
especially
this way.
Especially when you're doing the profit sharing that they do.
Yeah.
And then you're not paying your players.
There's got to be something I'm missing, though, about the paying of the players. There's got and I wonder if it's... If you're an owner, like you heard what I just said, like you could say whatever you want to about Jimmy Haslam, and many have. I know for a fact he spares no expense. All right. If he thinks it's going to help him win, he's going to spend it. And that comes to player salary as well. Do you think
Nick Chubb a couple years
ago? Do you think they kind of like it? They still gave him money.
Hey, hero, fan favorite, take a big pay cut.
Do you think that they like, in a way, we always got to think the other way. We're always not seeing it. Yeah. I'll leave it here. If you want to comment on it, fine. We're getting ready to go on this one. Do you think they kind of like that there's a tightwad owner out there and makes them look better? Because of what I just said, because I'm a fan. So because I'm like, hey, thank goodness. Thank goodness we pay our guys. I don't have to worry about Aiden Hutchinson. I don't have to worry about Aaron Donald's retired. I don't got to worry about all these guys not because they don't play for the Bengals. And here you got a guy who's too old to care and too stuck in his ways to care. He don't give a damn what any of us have to say about him. And do you think that they're perfectly fine with that? Because it just makes them look better. Because it's like they're all trying to save money. None of them are going to go into the red for their teams. None of them. They're all trying to save, especially with how expensive that game is. Yeah, it just makes them all look better. And it's hard to look good as an owner.
And you've seen a ton of Browns fans over the last 48 hours laughing at the Bengals' misfortune. Mind you, you know, the Bengals have had a better record than us, right, over the last 5 years, whatever. And we've been to the playoffs twice. So it is one area where Jimmy Haslam looks really, really better than another owner in the division.
And that's it.